everything's kind of more solidified. Have the number of endings in this game been finalized? When you again, it was I think the number tossed around was somewhere around a dozen last year when you were first starting to talk about it. So how's that coming along, that part of the project?
Being that we are Bethesda, everything gets a bit big. So as of last week, we're over 200 endings. That is not an exaggeration.
In the never-ending pursuit of making money, Hollywood is continuously buying as many intellectual properties as possible to then reimagine them into television shows and movies with already built-in audiences, hoping to capitalize on an already niche fan base, while also lacking the creativity to write compelling stories, coupled with the fear of alienating a small group of people, empowering women at the expense of male characters, and also bringing in representation needlessly into every story. This has led to the fall of Marvel Comics, Star Wars, DC Comics. Now that the superhero is fading, video games and anime are on the table. Hollywood never changes.
This video is brought to you by Raycon. You've heard me talk about Raycon for the past couple years, especially the everyday earbuds. And you probably thought, man, I don't need those. Well, that's where you're wrong. They have the same audio quality that you'd expect from the big guys, but at half the price. Put on your listening ears, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbud. Now you get active noise canceling, ergonomic designs, and multi-point connectivity that let you pair with two devices at once. This is actually fantastic. It's riding season, so I use mine while on the motorcycle. They have a variety of new colors available to complement anything you're wearing. My personal favorite is now lavender. Ergonomic earbud shapes to fit the widest ranges of ears. Three customizable sound styles. Earbud tapping functions to reduce discomfort while using them in awareness mode. Active noise cancellation. Quick charge function. Multi-point connectivity. Click the link in the description box or go to buyraycon.com/itsagundam to get 20% off your Raycon purchase plus free shipping. Not to mention they offer a 30-day happiness guarantee. If you don't like them, send them back. You can't lose. I'm a longtime Fallout fan. This channel originally started from my love for PC gaming, especially Bethesda games. I was a total Bethesda shell before I took the black pill that was Fallout 4 and then Fallout 76, and I went nutso butso. Red Letter Media summed it up perfectly.
How does it feel to have lived long enough to see all of your favorite franchises go down in flames?
Feels great.
The Fallout TV show is the perfect normie adaptation. The show is mid. We live in a day and age where adaptations are so bad, when something shows up that isn't dog water, people think that they're watching The Godfather for the first time or Citizen Kane. DSP is a perfect example of the consumer mindset that now envelops the modern movie, television, and gaming industry.
Fallout TV show comes out, there should be Fallout content to consume to supplement that desire.
Silence, slave!
As I stated before, Fallout is the perfect IP to adapt. Throw in some member berries, a weapon that shoots junk, stim packs, sugar bombs, vault suits, Nuka-Cola, the T-60 power armor, aka the suit that was on the cover of Fallout 4, and people just think, yes! Since Fallout lore has been bastardized to the point of where it's unrecognizable thanks to Bethesda constantly changing the lore on a whim, wherever, whenever, a Fallout TV show or movie was inevitable and easy to translate. Why it never made it past development hell in 1998 may speak more for the decline of movies and television standards in the last few decades than anything else. The Too Long Didn't Watch is, the Fallout show is Amazon's MCU, except everything will be canon, so get ready for future Fallout iterations to be affected by Amazon's decision making. Yum yum! And if the decline of Westworld was anything to judge the metric of Fallout by, it's gonna get rough in a few seasons. Since the franchise lacks the rich lore of Lord of the Rings, the fanbase is laid back and at this point full of consumers. Buy product, then get excited for the next product.
What a joke!
Every BE3,
which stands for Bethesda E3,
was proof that Todd Howard would march out, show us some BS, say that the game did things it really didn't do, and people would cheer to the high heavens.
The guy was f***ing my chickens.
The premise of the show starts off as your typical Fallout trope. Protagonist's father is kidnapped or leaves, or the vault needs a warder chip. Ironically, there was a segment where they needed a warder chip, a la Fallout 1.
Just give me the chip!
Thank you. Now, go to the library and rest for a while, okay? Yes, you can touch things.
I found the connecting vaults to be a stretch, and totally different from past Fallout lore. But, like I said before, Fallout is whatever they decide to make it in the moment. So Bethesda could easily say Vault Tech wanted to test how to fight inbreeding in these vaults. If only I had the lore master, Pete Hines, to help me make sense of all of this. The long and the short of it with the vaults, because the lore keeps changing. On one end, the original creator said the vaults were made to test how people could survive terraforming space. On the other end, the vaults were made for the Enclave to test crap out on people. Oh my god, we're not doing an hour-long video. The Brotherhood of Steel having training camps out in the open like the NCR soldiers used to train is a total 180 from how things have always been, considering that they are an isolationist group into hiding in bunkers and training there. But this takes place after Fallout 4, so they could easily say Arthur Maxim pushed for the Brotherhood to be more hands-on in the wasteland. But he's only in charge of the East Coast chapter of the Brotherhood of Steel. Since Fallout 4 took place in Boston, 9 years before the Amazon show. We're going all over the place here. There was also a transsexual member of the Brotherhood of Steel. This is out of pocket, as the kids say. As the concept didn't exist in 1950s Americana, which is what Fallout was. This was a 2020 sort of, you know, this is an our world sort of thing, but whatever. You gotta fit the alphabet in there somewhere, or someone's gonna be mad. Interracial relationships being the norm in pre-war America in the Fallout lore also didn't make any sense. After the bombs dropped, yeah, I could get it. But before? I don't know. But once again, D-E-I. Fat people in the vault. Let alone the wasteland is another lore-breaking moment for me in the show. I mean, come on. In vaults, the food would be rationed. And in the wasteland, let's put it this way. How many fat, starving Africans have you seen in your life? Doesn't make sense to me. But hey, body positivity. Oh well, the lore doesn't matter anymore because I could see how they could spin anything when it comes to Fallout because the lore itself is so incredibly inconsistent. With a slice of representation. The characters are a mixed bag where some shine, others not so much so is the best way I could put it. Lucy is pretty much the star of the show and she's what you expect with a modern television trope for a female character. She's established, she's brave, she's amazing, she's combat effective, yet she's naive. Since she's a vault dweller, it makes total sense when it comes to dealing with the outside world. Also, she's oddly promiscuous.
You wanna have sex?
Yes!
For someone living in a vault. She was boning her cousin for fun. At least she isn't your standard girl boss. I feared that they would make her into another Galadriel since it's Amazon. And she's somewhat likable for a character. Considering what you're used to dealing with. Her main catchphrase is okie dokie, and this is used as a barometer for her mental state as it slowly erodes the longer she spends time on the surface world.
You got a brand new pair of roller skates, you got a brand new key.
Okie dokie.
My main complaint is how she's so quick to do horrible things with no major moral dilemma. She meets a dude and she's able to behead him within hours of knowing him. Okie dokie, I guess.
Okie dokie.
The scientist that injected a capsule that harbors cold fusion that's enough to power an entire city forever in his head. We're just going to suspend disbelief and say whatever, it's Fallout. But him escaping the Enclave so easily and machine gun turrets missing him as he power walked through gunfire, it was something too stupid to ignore. I guess the Enclave recovered after the events of Fallout 76, Fallout 1, Fallout 2, and Fallout 3. And it was also odd that they weren't the first to hunt this dude down and wipe out a town to get him. I mean, it's the Enclave. This is a shocking change of pace for them. Under normal circumstances, the Enclave would have found this dude at that shitty little shanty town and literally scorched earth everyone to get... Whatever, let's move on. By the way, the cold fusion was created by a woman who kidnaps Lucy's father. Somehow, this bitch lives for 200 years, and it's never explained how she was alive. Then later you find out that the ghoul's wife was the head of Vault-Tec program, because of course she was. She was a strong, powerful black woman that could balance family and career. Not only that, she was totally cool with nuking the world. This completely changes Fallout lore. Yes, there was speculation among the fans that Vault-Tec led to the Great Catastrophe, but it was never solidified in the lore. Whatever. Maximus is a terrible character, and the Brotherhood is now a trash organization. Michael Rapaport was cast as a knight in power armor. I recall only paladins get armor. Whatever, Fallout lore is inconsistent, suck it, nerd. This was a clear attempt to make Maximus seem like a better person when in actuality he's a pretty trash human being. Because he let Michael Rapaport, just drop dead and then he stole his identity and armor. That's right, folks. The black character steals power, armor, and identities. And he was willing to kill his friend at the drop of a hat. Not to mention he's a coward when facing death at the hands of rad roaches. By the way, he's selectively stupid and doesn't know what his dick is for during sex.
I don't know, that weird thing could happen.
This is A-tier writing. Elm must have been in the mix. For those who don't know, Elm is the lead writer of Bethesda. He's the reason why Fallout 4 was a complete departure from what Fallout fans are used to. Check my older videos. The T-60 power armor now functions like Iron Man armor. Jesus Christ, would it have killed them to give the T-60 armor the jetpack that was featured in Fallout 4? Yes. Yes, it would have killed them. I'm sure that the writers thought, oh, the armor can be like Iron Man's armor because people love the MCU and Robert Downey Jr. The inconsistencies of the armor itself is on full display. When fighting a rad bear, it can't break the skin of this animal. But it crushes human skulls like rotten tomatoes and punches through walls and throws massive rocks a mile away. The ghoul slash Cooper Howard. This is the only character you'll end up really liking or taking an interest in because the actor is actually that good. He feels like the most fleshed out character, while the rest of them seem like they're just there. The show also made the actor Cooper Howard the inspiration for the Vault Boy. Sure, whatever. The show takes liberties with ghoul lore as well. I know, shocker. If you thought the power armor flying without a jetpack was stupid. Now, ghouls need special medicine to keep themselves from going feral. I guess this was to give the ghoul some sort of flaw or agency because he's practically immortal otherwise. The dude gets shot up by an entire town in a gunfight and it was like throwing grapes at him. That's what I call some serious plot armor. I'm not even getting into it or my head will explode. Fallout 4's kid ghoul flies in the face of this idea completely. Remember when the kid somehow got inside a refrigerator during the bombs dropping and it turned into a ghoul? And he was stuck inside a refrigerator for 200 years without food or anything. And he didn't go feral. Whatever. Fallout lore is now as credible as Star Wars lore. Everything changes on the whim of a company that sees their IP as a money printing machine. By the way, don't forget to buy Fallout's chocolate coffee blend just in time for the new show. I'm not being facetious. That actually exists.
Kill me, please. I want to die.
Shady Sands was nuked. The New California Republic and the NCR are on their last legs if they're not dead because Lucy's mother left the vault and took her along to Shady Sands. And for some reason, the father slash overseer got mad when the mother wouldn't come back and decided to nuke the town. How did he get a nuke? Let alone aim the nuke at Shady Sands? Don't ask questions. Just consume product. Then get excited for more product. Many saw this as another Bethesda snub against Obsidian for the vastly superior Fallout New Vegas.
Play that instead of 4, don't be stupid.
That, to this day, is still regarded the best Fallout game in the 3D space. When I say Bethesda is petty about this game, I mean it. When New Vegas missed a Metacritic score by 1 point, Bethesda refused to pay them a bonus for putting out the game in a record-breaking time. That's right. 1 point. Bethesda was like, screw you, Chris Avalon. The ending fight scene where the Brotherhood of Steel take on Wasteland Rebels. Anyway, in this fight scene, the ghoul literally takes out a whole troop of Brotherhood of Steel members in power armor single-handedly because the armor had a fatal flaw that he only knew about in Operation Anchorage. Suck it, nerd. This is A-class writing. The added fact that the Brotherhood doesn't use any energy weapons once again threw me for a loop. Hell, they don't throw a single plasma grenade. There were so many ways they could have killed the ghoul easily, but plot armor. How a group of literal Raceland rebels gave the Brotherhood of Steel a run for their money makes zero sense. That's like saying all the people occupying colleges right now in protest of the war in the Middle East could easily defeat the U.S. military. The T-60 power armor in this show is just a metal coffin, judging by how it's interpreted. By the end, you find out that Lucy's father worked for Vault-Tec the whole time and was cryogenically frozen to run a vault in the future. Why? I don't know. It also hints that Lucy's mother was in a lesbian relationship with the woman she met in Shady Sands, and she was willing to give up her family for it. Okay? The son isn't even in the mix at all. They don't even say anything about the son. Like, because men suck, I guess. Oh, I forgot to mention, Lucy's brother is a complete spineless, short, weak-willed, soft-chin loser. It's... Anyway, the woman she left the Overseer for just happened to be the genius woman that created Cold Fusion and survived for 200 years without being a ghoul, and they never tell you how she's alive. Well, anyway, the rebels brought power to the wasteland, so all's well that ends well. Even though this woman went to an innocent vault and killed a whole bunch of people on a whim, at the ending credits, Lucy and the ghoul are going after her father in New Vegas, which means we're going to see Mr. House. It also doesn't make much sense because New Vegas made its money off of the NCR, who are kind of like dead now. But whatever, don't ask questions, because it makes a lot of sense if you don't think about it. That's pretty much the show. Maximus is a hero for waking up next to the leader of the rebels, and she's dead. Whoopee whoopee, season 2 is signed, everybody's happy. Overall, the Fallout show is all right. But clearly, it has many of the modern tropes I tend to dislike about shows. But at least it doesn't beat you over the head with them like everyone else seems to do in this modern age. The writing is hit or miss, oftentimes stupid, relying heavily on Fallout humor or member berries. The instance where the ghoul just cuts off Lucy's finger because she bit off his, and he was just able to reattach some random finger. No, he attached her finger to his hand, and it worked like he never lost his finger, while Mr. Handy gave her a black finger, and whatever. In a world where most video game adaptations are trash, this is decent by comparison. Sadly, this show brought Zoomer eyes to Fallout. Twitter was loaded with hot takes and coded messaging. People started buying Fallout 4, which led to Bethesda releasing a 15GB patch for 60fps on consoles that only broke mods and corrupted save files. Typical backwards Bethesda. Not to mention setting back the long-anticipated Fallout London mod yet again. The newfound success of Fallout 4 will only solidify that Bethesda will continue down this looter-shooter path they carved out with Fallout 4 into future iterations of the Fallout series. And if Starfield is anything to go by, the next Fallout and Elder Scrolls will be so shit modders will give up fixing it. But that's a tale for another time.